message than I normally do. And I know I've said this before, but there is a chance we'll get out early. That doesn't necessarily mean you should get excited, because there's still a chance we won't, all right? But man, you know, do me a favor, shut down your phone, silence it, you know, get rid of it. Don't let it bother you. I've noticed this morning I've already got 3 scam or wasteful calls today. They used not to ring me on Sunday, but now they've started. And I think, what a blessing, you know. Yesterday it was all day long, one call after another. And so it's amazing. But hey, the most amazing thing happened this week. I got a call from my mother-in-law. It came up on my phone. Literally came up on my phone, Linnell Worley. Now, all of you that know Linnell Worley, she died several years ago. But bless your heart, she called me this week, all right? It was amazing, all right? Just absolutely amazing. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? I'm just telling you what happened, all right? Now, she wasn't on the line, okay? But those folks that call, they use everybody else's number, you know. You know, if those people in Congress want something to do that would be decent and would help people, if they could do something about eliminating that kind of garbage, it would be a blessing, wouldn't it? All right. Hey, but enough of that. Let's get something good today. Psalms 119. Psalms 119 is the longest chapter, in the Word of God. When I was a kid, that was the one thing I knew about it. It was the longest chapter in the Word of God, 176 verses. But it, you know, I was kind of slow. I finally figured out that all 176 verses in Psalms 19 have to do and talk about the Word of God. The Word of God. Over and over you find it. It doesn't always say, just take a look, if you will. Look at verse 69. All right. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Look at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But the Bible in this chapter doesn't always refer to the word using the word word. Sometimes it's like verse 97, where the Bible said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Talks about the law, all right? In verse 98, it says, through thy commandments. Hey, those commandments are the word of God. Sometimes you'll find it use the word precepts. Sometimes you'll find it referred to as the word statutes. But the whole psalm is about the word of God. But I want you to look at one verse. I want you to look at verse 160, all right? Verse 160, if you will. The Bible said, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Now you see that thy word is true from the beginning. Thy word is true from the beginning. Now I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, if the word of God is true. If God's word is true. Now the Bible makes it very clear that it's to be taken as true. It is true. It is true. Everybody doesn't believe that. There are plenty of scoffers. There are plenty of naysayers. There are plenty of Bible deniers out there that'll tell you, man, it's not true. It's not really the word of God. It is simply the work of men. But I want to tell you this. If it was just the work of a man, it's the most amazing work man has ever produced. Because about 40 or so different men wrote these books that we have preserved in the Bible over a span of hundreds of years, and all of it fits together amazingly. That would be like me assigning each one of you to write one paragraph in a story. And just give you the title, you know, what the story was about. And next Sunday, we all come back and we'd read our paragraphs one after another, and it all fit together and tell a marvelous story. How do you think that would work out? It'd be a mess. But God had it taken care of because this is His book. Now, a lot of people deny it. But I want to tell you this. There's a lot more ammunition on the side of those who believe it than there is for those on the other side. A lot more time. Hey, now, I'm not trying to defend this book today. I just want to preach a little bit to you, okay? If this word is true, if God's word is true, you see, I'm afraid so many times we come to church and we listen halfway. And we walk out and it doesn't really affect us. It doesn't stick with us. Okay, it doesn't stick with us. We walk out and we leave it right here. But I hope this morning we can just challenge you a little bit. You see, if the Word of God is true, if this book is true, there is a lot of ramification and implications that ought to cause us to sit up and really pay attention. And if God's Word is true, there's some things in here that just ought to draw us, all right? If this Word is true, our lives ought to be affected by what it says. Now, you go to the doctor. This next June will be 20 years ago, I went to the hospital simply because there was a little chest pain. So I went to the hospital. They finally figured out, well, you've got a blockage, and they put in two stents in the left, I think. Can't remember if it's left right now or the right anterior descending aorta, okay? They put two stents in. You say, what does that mean? I don't know. But they did it. And while I was there recovering, this cheerful lady walks in the room and says, no, I think maybe she introduced herself, but with no preliminary words to soften the blow. I mean, here I am sitting there contemplating the fact that the heart doctor says you've got coronary heart disease. Okay. But then she comes in and says, hey, you're type 2 diabetic. And she begins to tell me the ramifications of that. She said, now it doesn't mean that you can't have, you know, some of the things you like. I mean, for instance, I said, what kind of candy? She asked me, and I said, well, I really like peanut M&Ms. She said it'd be okay if you eat 3 or 4 of them a day. I said, packs? She didn't think that was funny. Okay, you say, where are you going, preacher? Here's where I'm going with that. She told me there's things you need to do. Okay. I've got a friend who also found out a few years later he was diabetic. Now, I paid attention to what they told me. I paid attention. He didn't. Okay? He really didn't. He just kind of sloughed it off. Now, he's still my friend. Matter of fact, we're probably better friends now than we used to be. All right? But he's at home today. Hopefully he's at church. He went to church. But he's got part of a leg missing because of diabetes. You with me? Why? Well, he didn't listen. Now, he's listening now. He's listening now. But let me say, all right, I listened to what the doctor said. Many of you know back just earlier, a few months ago, man, my diabetes went nuts. It just went crazy. My sugar levels went straight up. And so I went back to the doctor and said, okay, need to do this and this and this. I went through all that. And I'm really being careful now about everything, although I did enjoy Thanksgiving dinner, all right? But really being careful. He said, why? I like my toes. I would really like to be buried with all of them. not in a separate container, all right? I mean, all connected. You with me? He said, I pay attention because I really want all of that to go. I'm paying attention. The doctor says, you really need to do this. Okay, I'm doing it. But I'm here to tell you this morning as a preacher of the Word of God and saying to you, this book speaks to you. And if God's Word is true, you ought to pay attention.
Amen.
And you ought to observe what it says. It ought to affect you. All right? You understand this. You're not here by accident. You're not here by accident. If this Word, now notice what the Bible said, thy Word is true from the beginning. Well, the beginning of the Word is in Genesis chapter 1. If you want to go back there with me and take a look, all right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And in that verse it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. This Word is true from the beginning. In Exodus 20, verse 11, it says, For in six days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. I said, preacher, do you really believe he made the world in six 24-hour periods? Yeah, because I've got a great God. I've got a God that is not limited in what he can do. He made it very simply. He spoke it into existence. You said it can't happen. It can't unless God's in it. Yeah, but science says you have got to be kidding. You'll trust them? I want to tell you, man, you just check out what science has said down through the years and find out how many times they've been dead wrong. Dead wrong. And they'll be wrong again. Now, I'm glad when they're right. But I'll tell you this, when they say something that's opposed to what this book says, they're dead wrong. Just plain and simple. God's Word is true from the beginning. So, I mean, hey, you're not here by accident. Everything's in this world. God put it here. God made you. He put you here. He put you on this earth. He said, no, preacher. I'm here because my parents wanted kids. No, you're here because God wanted you to be born. Maybe some of you say, well, I'm just an accident. My parents hadn't planned on me, and all of a sudden, boom, I showed up. Doesn't matter. God was in it. You're here because God allowed you to be born. Now, you can deny that. You cannot believe it, but it doesn't change the truth of it. Doesn't change that truth one bit. God put you here. And I want to point out to you, according to this book, God had a purpose and a plan for man. Go back into Genesis. All right? Go back to Genesis chapter. Honestly, I'm not sure. We'll look around till I find it. All right? Look at verse 26 of chapter 1. Chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them, that's men, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. All right? That's it. He said, you let them do it. Look in chapter 2. Verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And God put him there. And he was there to keep that garden. He was there to take care of it, all right? God put him there. God made man, he made Adam, put him there, and looked at Adam, and he said, I guess you ladies look at it this way. He looked at Adam and said, I can do better than that. So he made Eve. I'll tell you this. He did a lot better job making you ladies than us men. We don't look near as good as y'all do, okay? And how any man could want to kiss another man is beyond my ability to comprehend, okay? You're just out there, all right? Nothing was put on this earth by accident. Everything's here. Have you ever just, you know, We look at the big things. Have you ever just sat close to the ground and taken a look at all the little things that crawl around on the ground? You realize God put them all there? They're there for a reason. They're there. He put ants to interrupt your picnic. He put flies on this earth to torment you when you're trying to do something, all right? You know, he put mosquitoes here to keep you exercised. All right? I mean, he put them here for a reason. They're all here. Everything. And it fits together. Man has developed a term that's called an ecosystem. God just said, I made the world and everything therein. He put it here for a reason. Nothing here by accident. All of creation gives evidence to the order and purpose of God. Everything here. He placed Adam and Eve in a place that was prepared for them. He had a purpose and he had a plan for them. He told them they were to dress that garden and keep it. They were to be fruitful and multiply. They were to have children. Listen, I want to tell you this. If he had a plan and a purpose for them, he has a plan and a purpose for you. You said, wait a minute. What does what was them have to do with me? How do you know that, preacher? Well, look in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Now remember, every word of God, all right? Thy word is true from the beginning. Romans chapter 2. I want you to look there with me, all right? There's a verse, you say, what, Adam and Eve, okay, he had a plan and a purpose for them, but I'm here and there's no purpose. It can't be true. Why? Romans chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says, verse 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. There's no respect of persons with God. If God had a plan and a purpose for Adam and Eve, God has a plan and a purpose for you. God has a plan and purpose for you. You said, hey, I'm old. Me too. Brother Marion asked this morning, how do you have birthdays? I said, keep living. You keep living, you'll keep having birthdays. All right? You'll keep having them. They'll come. It's okay. No problem. But hey, I'm old, preacher. That's all right. God has a plan and purpose for old people. They're to torment young people. No, that's not our plan and purpose. But God has a plan and purpose for us, okay? You young people here, you teenagers, you kiddos that are here, listen to me. God has a plan and purpose for you. Amen. You're not unknown to Him. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you in life, all right? Now, I'll be honest with you. If God's word is true, and you're not here by accident, and God has a plan and a purpose for you, I would think that wisdom and even common sense says it'd be a good idea for you to find out what that plan and purpose is. Because He's God. So it'd be a real good idea for you to sit down and try to figure out what is that plan and purpose for me. Fortunately, the Bible gives us insight. The Bible gives us insight. I want you to go with me, Will, to the book of Revelation. We started almost in the middle of the Bible. We went to the first book. Now I want to take you to the last book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation, Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Hey, here's your purpose. Here's your purpose. Here's my purpose. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. So what are you getting at, preacher? Well, it's pretty plain. Your purpose in this world is to bring pleasure to your Creator. That is your purpose. You're here. You're here to bring pleasure to your Creator. Now, there's a host of folks in the world today that turn to evolution. And they turn to evolution. If you can get to evolution, you can eliminate God from your thoughts. You can eliminate God from your lives. And hey, after all, if we all got here through a long series of perhaps and perchance and accidents, if we're all just here that way, then there's no need for God. And if there's then no God, then you don't have to worry about what pleases Him. You don't have to worry about that at all. Therefore, if that's what you believe, I can live any way I please. I can do my own thing and just please me. And that's the way most people live. Now, the sad thing is most God's people live that way. Most God's people live that way. We live to please ourselves. We just leave to please ourselves. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This is not going to be the most profound theological message you've ever heard. But it's going to be practical enough that it'll hit you right between the eyes. You see, we're here to bring pleasure to our Creator. I like the way Dr. Sam Gipp puts it. He said, we're here to put a smile on His face. Put a smile on His face. So, that ought to be our purpose. Well, then that brings up the next question. How can you know what brings Him pleasure? How do we know? If we're here to bring pleasure to Him and to please Him and put a smile on His face, how do we do that? How do we know that what brings Him pleasure? Oh, I know. Let's ask the preacher. Ask Him and put it all on Him. It's all on His lap. He's supposed to know those kind of things. We'll just ask Him. That'll be the easy deal. And God knows we like the easy way, don't we? Let's go to Him. But if not Him, we'll ask for everybody else's opinion. Let's go to our friends. Hey, what do you think? I find it amazing when you begin to talk to people about God. And people begin to say, well, I think. Well, I think. And I think. Hey, you ever thought maybe you could ask Him? Did you ever think you could just ask Him? Don't know what brings Him pleasure? You could ask Him. Anybody here? Be honest. Now, we're not going to, by the way, won't embarrass you to do this. Anybody here, you've asked somebody else already, what do you want for Christmas? Any of you done that already? There you are. Yeah. Why? Because you want to get them something they like, right? You want, when they open that present, if you're there, you want to see a smile on their face, don't you? Would you ever thought about asking God what bring Him pleasure? Ever think just asking, Lord, what bring you pleasure? I can help you with all of that. I started, said, well, ask the preacher. Well, did you ever think we could check out what he says in the book that he left us? What in the world brings him pleasure? Well, let's find out. Open that book. If God's word is true, and He put us here, and we're here to bring pleasure to Him, not just pleasure to us. Now, I'm going to stop. Have you ever seen in writing stuff in parentheses? Well, we're fixing to put something in parentheses now in the middle of the message. That's extra information. That's what you put in that, all right? Now, we're talking about bringing Him pleasure. Here's the problem with us when we think of that. If I've got to do what brings Him pleasure, it's obviously going to make me very unhappy. That's exactly the way people think. If I got to do so much for what I want to do, I'm not going to have any more fun. There won't be any smiles on my face anymore. Hey, are you ever wrong, man? You're totally wrong there. See, the truth of the matter is, if we'd learn what puts a smile on His face, you'd be amazed at how many smiles it put on your face. If you'd just learn to do it, you'd be absolutely amazed. And if God's word's true, you need to figure out how you fit in His plan. You need to figure out, hey, what do you want from me, Lord? What do you want from me? All right, you can go to the book. You don't have to ask the preacher. You want to know what puts a smile on his face? Hey, I've been preaching this book. Every time I stand and preach to you, I'm preaching something to you that'll give you the answer to that question. Every time I do that, every time I preach, I'm giving you an answer to that question. What brings him pleasure? Every time I do it, all right? If your preacher's not preaching that book, then you've been listening to the wrong person, okay? If he's not preaching this book, you're listening to the wrong person. You need to find somebody that will preach it. Because this is the book that's going to change things. It doesn't matter what other books have been written. A lot of people read Chicken Soup for the Soul. Some of you heard of that book? I'm not preaching against that book. If you want to read it, go for it. Preacher, have you ever read it? No. I like chicken soup for the belly. I don't know if I want chicken soup for the soul or not, all right? I have not read it. Not against it. You know, no, don't know. Maybe it's got some wonderful advice, great things, but I'm telling you this, all right? You don't need a preacher to get up and talk to you about chicken soup for the soul. You need one that'll get up and say, thus saith the Lord. Here's what the word, why? Because it's his word. And thy word is true from the beginning. Thy word is true. You know what you can do? You've got a book. You can read and study it for yourself. Take your Bible over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look, if you will, at verse 15. Now, the first word, this verse staggers us right out of the gun. Study. Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, here it is, the word of truth. Now, this is the word of truth, okay? This is the word of truth. So here we've got a command from God. That whole verse, okay, if you'll notice in your Bible, okay? If you'll notice in your Bible that this whole verse is a command. In English, it's referred to as an imperative sentence. I learned that years ago. An imperative sentence. It's a command. And a command, an imperative sentence, doesn't have a subject written in. You know what the subject is? It is an understood subject, and you are the understood subject. So when it says study to show thyself, it's saying you study. You study to show thyself approved unto God. That's a command from the Word of God to you. All right, now, test, quiz time. You ready? Quiz time. What puts a smile on the face of our Lord? Gee, you reckon if we did what He said, that would do it? Yeah, and one of the things He says to do is study that book. Study that book. The reason you don't know what to do and how to do is because you won't open that book and read. You just won't get in it. You come to church, but hey, we're not here that long. We can only get so much of it in you. And sometimes you're not real faithful about being here. We're on again and off again, you know. And so we miss, we get it, it's broken into so many pieces out there, you know. So we don't get it there. Hey, then, but one of the things you can do, now you ought to come to church, but you ought to study it for yourself. You ask God, Lord, what would it take to put a smile on your face? Well, hey, you find out what your place is in this world and do it. Get involved in it. Be a partaker. Be a participator. Don't just be a spectator. You see, the purpose of this book is not so you will have a vast knowledge and you can answer every Bible trivia question there is. The reason you get this book in you, so it'll work in you and you'll do what it says. That puts that smile on the face. That gives him pleasure. It gives him pleasure. There's not a parent in this world that is not pleased when their children do as they're told and as they've been taught. You put a smile on the face of your parents when you do what they've told you and taught you to do. When we do what God has said to do, we put a smile on his face. We bring pleasure to him. But we put it into practice. Now let me just say this to you. I want you to go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, all right? 2 Peter chapter 1. There's a, if you don't even say, well, preacher, I don't even know where to start. Well, here's the starting place, all right? 2 Peter, I think I said chapter 1, but I want you to go 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Would you look at verse 9? Give you plenty of time to get there. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. You're on your phone. Maybe your phone's running slow, so I'll wait till it gets there. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come. He said, preacher, I don't know where to start. Here's the place to start. Repentance. Maybe you need to repent and be saved. Maybe you need to turn from your sin to the Savior and trust him as your personal Savior. I sang that song. I was there when it happened. And I guess I ought to know. I know when I trusted him. I know when he saved me. I know what a difference it made. Now, salvation does not depend on a feeling. Doesn't depend on a feeling. But I've always felt like a feeling comes with it. But it's not dependent on that feeling. But I did feel the burden lifted. I did feel the burden. Hey, you've never trusted him as your Savior. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. It's where you come to the realization, hey, I'm a sinner. And the truth of the matter is, I deserve hell. We try to paint too good a picture of ourselves. I'm not as bad as that guy over there. I'm not as bad as that girl over there. I'm not as bad as that individual. But wait a minute. Remember, you're not comparing yourself to some individual. You're comparing yourself to God. He's perfect. I just let you in on a little secret. We don't measure up too good right there. We're just not perfect. I don't know how many times I've had people say, now, preacher, I'm not perfect. Would you quit saying that? I knew that long before you said it, all right? I'm not either. We're not perfect, but he is. That's why you need a Savior. We're sinners. You need to repent of your sin. You need to turn from that sin, trust him, and ask him to save your soul. That's where it starts. Christian, maybe you made that step. It could have been years ago. You did turn from your sin. You trusted the Savior. But let's be honest with you. Really, what you need to do right now is repent of the way you've been living and get right with God. Turn from that life you've been living. You know, that life of I'm doing my own thing. I'm just doing my own thing. God understands. Yeah, he understands. But you're not meeting the purpose he put you here for. What you need to do is repent and decide, I'm coming to Him. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change the way I've been living. Change the way I've been living. You need to get right with God. Hey, that's where it starts, okay? That's where it starts. Listen, if God's word is true, the responsibility falls upon you to find out what He wants you to do. The responsibility falls upon you. Well, I'm waiting on Him to tell me. He's already written it down. It's up to you. And the truth of the matter is, in so many instances, I guarantee you, there's many of you sitting here, you know right now things you need to change in your life, because what you're doing is dead wrong according to that book, and you know it. Then you need to repent. And you need to get right with Him. That's what you need to do. Hey, if God's word's true, there's something you need to do. What is it? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning because we need You. Dear God, we believe this book is true. I know it's true, Lord.